Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 29th of March, recording at 5:50 p.m. British Standard Time. First thing I wanted to say is that I'm absolutely delighted with the interest that subscribers are showing in the new forum, which was just posted last Thursday. But already that stimulated some really quite interesting commentary, and I find it interesting, and obviously some of you do as well. As to Zoe and Tracy, who works with me on this now and is the forum editor. By forum editor, I mean that he's in charge of putting up some reports, and he receives the emails and reports that you send to the forum and forwards or posts those. And I noticed that it had been particularly involved in commodity funds, I think, over the last 24 hours, and also some comments on palladium. And these were some bearish comments and bearish reports on palladium. You know, absolutely every report, fundamental report that I've seen on palladium, and I posted a number of them myself, particularly when I was buying my original stake, and subsequently, as people would send me these things, and they were pretty much all bearish. I haven't seen one that isn't bearish, although one or two have had the caveat that the key variable perhaps would be if funds got interested in palladium. Well, I always assumed that that was pretty much what it was about in this environment, that funds would back this supply inelasticity theme, or continue to back it, and that palladium would look tempting. Now, what I also say, and my involvement in commodity markets, which really goes right back to 1970, when the company, the research company that I was developing here in London at the time, was a majority owned by a commodity broking firm in those days. So I got quite a bit of exposure to commodity markets at a relatively early age. And what impressed me was that the fundamentals were invariably extremely bearish at the bottom of the market. And with something like metals, they would talk about the overhang of overhead supply. Well, that, of course, is what the bear market was all about. And at some point, we have to say, when has this been fully discounted, if not over-discounted? Now, I don't know of any other way to answer that than by looking at chart action. So I had been drawn to palladium, and when I look at the forum and it says, well, this is David's biggest position in metals at the moment, as you know, it wasn't my first position by any means. I had gold, and then I had silver. I've been in and out of silver so many times, currently out. And then I had the runs in copper, and then the play and in tin and zinc, and no doubt I'll have many more positions overall. But what did so? I'm not beating a special drum for palladium. Far from it. There's always a risk with laggards in that they're only being dragged up by the moves that have occurred elsewhere that suddenly make the laggard look cheap by comparison. That tends to happen, as you know, in a late cycle run in stock markets as well, that some of the laggards suddenly begin to look good for the same reason, and say everything else has already moved. And people who are running around looking for something that has been left behind and may stage catch up, I'm coming in by the laggards. But I can't really, other than the fact that palladium was a laggard for reasons that I've gone over innumerable times, I can't at this stage fault the chart action. And if it tumbles out of bed in tomorrow or in the next few weeks, well, then we'll all be able to point to the reports and say, well, there was much too much supply around anyway, so the whole thing was a little bit of a speculative bubble. But we will see, as they say. Now, in various different actions in here, I've covered them, but I just mentioned very, very briefly that I raised my Nikkei stop a little bit. Not a great deal. I sold half of my Clinton Cards long position. That's one of the Peter Bennett value stocks, small UK company. And I also came in, and I didn't expect to do this, but I thought, well, I was looking at this yen, And I had bought you may recall that I'd bought the euro against the yen. I think I did that last week, and I didn't time it very well because I came in around 131.20 basis the spot, and I'm losing money on this. This is a 128.04, and I thought, well, now do I add a little bit to that? And I didn't particularly want to do that. And I thought, well, wonder what euro, beg your pardon, what dollar yen looks like, and then I could see that the dollar had fallen all the way back down quite close to its previous lows, which I thought might add a little bit of psychological support. And this is, of course, an area that, well, previously was quite important to the Bank of Japan and the Ministry of Finance, just above the 105 area. So I've had a little speculation in this by shorting the yen dollar IMM futures contract. I posted a chart of that on the website, and I wouldn't have done it, frankly, if it hadn't been for the fact that the Japanese have been so aggressive in here. Now, if they've completely changed their policy, as has been rumor in the markets, then, well, I'll probably lose money on it. But I doubt they have. It wouldn't particularly make sense, and they're denying that they have in here in today's comment that I noticed coming out of the, I think it was coming from the BOJ. They said that this was purely speculation. Now, I also noticed that people, when the euro, I beg your pardon, when the dollar yen was up around 113, that's the spot rate, following a successful bear squeeze by the Japanese, that people were, well, the crowd was much more bullish, or I should say less bearish of the dollar, and that bearishness, at least against the yen, has grown considerably as it's declined back down towards this 105 level, and people are now talking about a pretty much a cinch that it goes down to 100 and lower. Well, maybe they'll be right. Anything can happen in the markets, but my hunch is that it won't happen without a battle. But it's a pretty speculative position, as you'll appreciate. And if it seems like I've got a lot of trades going here, and I know there are a number of new subscribers that have come in the last few months, well, I describe myself as an investor trader, but by definition, that's going to mean that I'm going to have far more trades than I will investments, because you establish investments and tend to run them for quite a long time. And my main investments, although I've lightened them a lot, but in my stock market positions, those had been in Asia. Again, I emphasize I have lightened them, but it has also been in natural resource stocks, mainly gold mines. It also lightened those somewhat. And I'm carrying a lot of cash at this stage. Now, let's get on here with the review of the markets, and I'll mention a few other points. I'm of the view here that markets may have bottomed in here for the time being. Now, you remember that I mentioned that last Thursday we got the first upward dynamics since this correction started. And it was quite good when you look at things like the NASDAQ, which had been so much of a laggard on the way down. And well, I could put it the other way. Let me rephrase that the NASDAQ had been leading on the way down, and I put great store in that because the NASDAQ had led on the way up, and as I've said on so many occasions, that the leaders tend to lead in both directions. So I was looking for some sort of all clear signal that the oversold condition, that short-term oversold condition that I'd been talking about and a number of other people had been talking about, was going to be resolved in a technical rebound. And we had that upward dynamic, as I say, on Thursday. And I describe that as a tradable signal, and I maintain that, although I chose not to actually trade it myself. My trading long was in the Nikkei stock average, and I took the more conservative choice. But The bottom line in all this is that given those upper dynamics, and you know my rule of thumb, which I mentioned on dynamics, is that once you get a dynamic, I'd back that for at least the short term until it is countermanded by a dynamic in the opposite direction. So what I would also add on that is that I'm going to give the upside, in the short term at any rate, the benefit of the doubt until or unless I see last Thursday's lows taken out. Now, you know, in my big picture hypothesis, I think that this is very late in the technical bull within the secular bear market on Wall Street. So I have been lightening equity positions, but at this stage, I'm not inclined to believe that we're going to get that big reaction that Chris Roberts in his very good Trendline report had called for on the S&P, looking for it to go back to, say, the 960 level against today's level of 1123. And I noticed that the Greed and Fear report that I posted had come up with that same conclusion. Now, those reports are both presumably completed mid last week, and I received them, I think, on Thursday. They both came in on Thursday, I think. So those analysts may have reassessed their short-term timing at this stage, but I've said my bit. I think, again, well, we're definitely getting an oversold rally against that background, and I may play some additional futures in here. But I'll certainly lighten some of my shareholdings if they rally further in the short term, Clinton cards being an example. Okay, now what does get me salivating a little bit in here right now is this bond market weakness. And the Japanese government bonds had another big hit on the downside here today. And I've got an overall profit on my position, which I opened a bit too soon, as I said, in this top extension phase. I toyed with taking out half of it on a baby steps basis and then decided not to because the US market was coming in quite weak. Now, my feeling on this really is that if bonds continue to weaken, and there's no doubt that we've had some real technical deterioration in the last few days in the JGBs, as the Japanese 10-year government bonds, and we've had some downward dynamics in the US Treasury bonds overall as well. So my feeling is if these patterns continue to deteriorate, that in the short term at any rate, that would probably be bullish for stock markets. Now the correlation can vary on this. These can be highly correlated, there can be no correlation, but overall, if I think back on my career, that when we have had bonds weakening, that has usually, again, if that if provided there hasn't been a big inflation scare, and there certainly isn't any big inflationary scare today, that has tended to be equity positive for anything for a few days to up to 6 months or so. And that's because you tend to get a little bit of money coming out of the fixed interest sector and going into the stock market. So I think that may be what's going on, and that's one of the reasons why the Japanese Nikkei's done so well and why Wall Street has rebounded here as well in the last few days. It didn't on Friday, but of course it had the big upside on Thursday and sort of closed only down very slightly on Friday. Now, I got ahead of myself a little bit in wrapping up some of these markets. The Asian markets a little bit mixed overall. Nikkei and the Hang Seng were down just a tiny bit, less than 0.5%, taking a breather. But I noticed that Japanese second section index was up again. It's been up, I think, 22 out of the last 23 days. Just an amazing performance. Europe was quite firm in here today, and some of these aren't quite closed yet, but good gains all around, up over most of them up over 1%, and some getting close to the 2% level. Wall Street, as I speak, is pretty firm. The Dow up 126, 14.5 on the S&P, and 34 on the Nasdaq. So again, the Nasdaq is following through on the upside. And I had mentioned the bonds, which are softer. Now I noticed that again, significant moves in the government bond futures tend to occur pretty much in tandem, and the JGBs have often had a lead of at least a day, though, in advance, and that's certainly been the case this time in this downward move. And today, I noticed that both the gilts and the euro bunds are being hit fairly hard. Now, and when I looked at the chart of the euro bunds, they had a tiny key day reversal on Friday, downside key day reversal. But as you know, you probably know that the bond markets, these bond futures, had been ranging higher since their September low. But overall, I see this as the end of a secular bull market in government bonds that occurred in June of last year. There was a big shakeout that ended in September of last year. Then, subsequently, we've had the long-ranging rally, right-hand extension phase, top phase, and it looks like that's rolling over. Now, that's far from conclusive on the U.S. Treasuries and the bunds and the sterling bonds. It's the only ones that I've looked at, in addition to the JGBs. But certainly, the JGBs have rolled over, and that's been the better trade, I think, all along. Okay, now moving on again in currencies. This was interesting because we had euro dollar drop down to 120.47 on the low, so that was a little bit further slippage on the euro with all this talk of the ECB lowering interest rates. That's firmed up a little bit, not a whole lot, but it's up at 121.47. Now, did I mention? No, I didn't. I got stopped out on my corn position, which is a little annoying because I let a reasonable gain get away from me there, and it wasn't a huge gain, but you know, we need them all, and so I got stopped out on that. I still have the soybeans position, which I've described as the better of the two trades all along. But these agricultural commodities, particularly in this nervous environment, bouncing around in here, I'm holding on to the soybeans at the moment. They're down a little bit in here today at 10:09 and a half. That's down 3.5 ticks in here today. The metals overall, palladium is at 292 as I speak. That's up 80 cents in here today, $1 off the high. It's the low of the day is at 287. Gold's down a little bit in here at 420 right now, 419.95. Silver off about 7. The metals are mostly still consolidating in here, and if I put up my metals page overall, well, actually, copper's up a little bit, not much, 45 cents in the States, $12 on the futures contract here. Tin's done best, that's firmer, and looks like 8,260 on the 3-month price, but that's 110 off the high that we had. Still quite overextended, that tin on the upside. That's been the best performer, and the others are pretty quiet. When I look at the charts, though, the only one that has been strong recently among these industrial metals has been tin. So this lack of commonality has kept me out of that sector for the time being as this consolidation continues. Oil a little bit lower here at it's 35.32 on the spot, and I have a July position which is costing me a little bit of money in here at the moment. That's at 33.75, so not clever because I bought that I think at 35. 35.85. What this all says to me in here is that it's not easy to make money in this environment right now. That's why I may seem like I'm doing a lot, but these are small bets that I have for the most part. I don't have any big bets. I do like to keep my hand in, as it were, and to be a little bit opportunistic. That keeps me monitoring absolutely everything, but my biggest bet overall, well, I suppose it's still that palladium. You have a very good evening.